Very good evening to everyone. We've already read the passage for tonight's devotion, which is from Psalm 37 verses 1 to 9. And, the reason why I chose this passage and this topic is because I think as we pray, we certainly want to pray with faith. And sometimes it can be challenging to do so because we live in a world where there's a lot of evil around us. Certainly when we look at, on one hand, the state of world affairs, we can see that there is increasing lawlessness. There is a lot of populism. There are a lot of people who are abusing their power, a lot of corruption and so forth. And I think even on a personal level, many of us may have encountered situations, whether that be, friends or family, or maybe, in the workplace as well, where we have seen sin abound, and that may actually bring us much grief. And so today, I think as we approach the Lord in prayer, we do so certainly with the lens of faith and His Word. And I think from His Word, also understanding how we are to seek Him and have and exercise that faith even amidst all this evil that can be going on around us. So let's look at the background for this psalm, right? So this psalm was written by King David in his old age. And if you turn down later on in the psalm in verse 25, right, it talks about how he was once young and now he is old. So these are seasoned reflections of a king, who has seen so much in his life. And, I think anyone who has done a study of the life of David, and I'm sure most of you here will have known about all the many things that King David went through from the time he was young all the way to his last days, right? He had seen so many incredible things. He had also gone through many immense trials, and there were times where he had indeed exercised great faith, but he was also a man who was very fallible. And had several of his sins documented, in scripture for us. So with this kind of backdrop, when we approach the first nine verses of this psalm, I think it is also important for us to remember or put ourselves in the perspective of King David, who wrote this psalm, that when he's writing this and he's now old, he also is not writing from sort of like a holier than thou kind of position, because I'm sure by this point he has already, reflected upon the many sins that he has committed, the many often chastisements that he has endured from God, right? So diving into the passage, verses 1 to 2, right? It says, "Fret not yourself, fret not thyself because of evildoers." And so when, as much as he talks about these evildoers, right? The workers of iniquity, right? Also mentioned in the same verse. He's also not coming at it from the perspective that, oh, he is so holy and, he has never made any mistakes in his life. Certainly not, right? And, if you look at the word fret in verse, and this is used a few times within these few verses, it actually talks, in the original bit about like burning, right, or being kindled, right? So there's a sense of which there's an internal, you could say, indignation, restlessness because of some injustice, because of sin that we are seeing in the world around us or in our immediate circumstances. Okay, so first one, right? So do not fret yourself, right? Do not continually be, so indignant and that kind of gnaw at you and eat you up as you look at all this evil around you, right? Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So this talks about how their prosperity, right? The way in which their schemes and machinations seem to work are often temporary, right? And then it comes to a series of actually what he, exhorts us to do, the psalmist. And the first one really is very simple. It is trust in the Lord and do good, right? And so this do good, really talks about us obeying the law. What is the sort of the consequence, right? Or what is what do we what does the Lord, give as a blessing to those who obey him, right? And it reads on the verse, "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So, that's if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, it mentions that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac. David, quotes in a way from this promise given in Deuteronomy, of how when we obey the Lord, right, when we submit our lives in obedience to him, right, so he actually is gave this promise to the people of Israel that he would bless them and right in the land and so forth, right? Of course, I would say it is also important for us to always interpret scripture through the appropriate lenses and not to like just like pluck out the verse and say, okay, so I should, I read this verse, so shalt thou dwell in the land, so therefore I will always be in Singapore, and verily thou shalt be fed, okay, so therefore I will always have food. Because these promises and what he's quoting for us, right, at that time, right, to the nation of Israel, and in those contexts, in that context, right. But I think what we see here really is the character of God, that he's a God who keeps his promises, right, and likewise that he's a God who really, on one hand, cares for his people and wants to bless them, but also wants to do so within the context of a life that is really submitted to him, right? I mean, how do you put it? It will be incongruous, right? Rather for God to pour, many blessings upon those who obviously do not submit themselves to him. So that is one, right? So trust in the Lord, obey him, right? In the context of us looking at all these people around us sinning, right, and all this evil that is perpetuating in this world, first thing, let's trust in God and think about how we can best obey him in these circumstances. That could be in the workplace. You hear about, maybe somebody plotting, gossiping, right? What should you do? What should your response be? Rather than think about joining in the political fray, joining a gang, joining a side, or how to defend yourself or things like that. The first thing is figure out what should I do to obey the Lord in this circumstance, for example, right? The next one, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And here you can see that the verse is very much focused on the heart, right? So it talks about delighting ourselves in the Lord. And I think that really turns, right, the attention of, right, the reader or the singer of this psalm, right, from somebody who is restless, who is indignant about the evil around them, to somebody whose heart instead turns to joy, right, as they consider who God is, really, how God is omnipotent, omnipresent, he's omniscient, right? And at the same time, the character of God, that our God is a God who loves justice and holiness, right? And yet a God full of grace and mercy. And it says here, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So there's an alignment between the person who is submissive, who is fully submitted to God, right? And the desires of that person's heart, together with and that how that aligns with God's character, right? So that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart as we are aligned to his character. The next verse, right? Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Right? So then this one, of course, talks about now what should we do, right? So what plans should we make, right? In the, kind of modern or sometimes corporate way, right? What's the strategy, right? Well, it is to make plans, but commit them to the Lord, right? Understanding, as you see the verse, that whatever will come to pass is in his hand, right? And the Lord will decree, right? What will or will not happen, right? And right? In verse 6, right? And it says, and you shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. So this part sounds a bit like, what does this part mean? I think if we look at the context, you can see that this is probably talking about maybe certain circumstances where you may be maligned, right? You may be, right, slighted or so forth because of the scheming of other people, right? And how God, because he's a God of justice, will eventually bring truth and justice to light, right? That's why it says the righteousness as the light, judgment as noonday, right? Noonday, of course, being the brightest time of the day. Okay, so God will manifest his character, right, also in his decrees, right? And generally speaking, he will bring things to light, right? The schemes of others, their sins, right, and so forth will eventually come to light. If you look at verse 7, right, what else are we to do? Right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I think this really, you know, brings to mind how we are to have that peace that can come only from God, right? And that's why the word rest, right, is mentioned here. And for us to wait patiently for him. I think especially in this day and age, a lot of us always want to see something happen soon. We always want things to happen now. But a lot of times, God instead tells us to be patient, right? And that could be difficult circumstances that you may be in. Once again, in many of the spheres of life, and often God wants us to be patient. And in being patient, we find peace in him, right? And we endure as these things, and we have that spiritual peace from the Lord. Right, and it goes on, right? Once again, the word fret makes its appearance, right? Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass, right? So as you see them succeeding, these evildoers, right? You see them succeeding and making progress in some of the wicked aims that they have, right? We are instead to have peace in God, wait patiently for God, right? It says here, cease from anger and forsake wrath, right? Do not react to these things by in a wrathful way, right? But instead, we are to wait patiently for God, right? And that's why it says, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, right? Don't be too hasty to recompense evil with evil, right? Somebody said something about me, now I'm going to say something about them, right? This may be relative of mine, you know, did this thing to slight me, and now I'm going to do something to slight them, right? Or something like that, right? So we are not to do these things. And finally, right, the passage, right, ends off with, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And, you know, this, I think, really points to eventually, right, the second coming of Christ, right? It helps us to look forward towards the day when we shall reign and rule with Christ, right? And I think if we look at things from that perspective, then we are able to have a right view of all the trials and sometimes temptations, difficult situations that we are facing today. So I think to just end off this devotion, let's consider what the Lord is telling us to do as we pray for, you know, sometimes we pray for our government, sometimes we pray for our missionaries, we pray for our ministries. And in the midst of these, right, sometimes there are also many evildoers in the context, right? It could be wicked governments in other countries and so forth, or maybe even people oppose the ministries of the church, right? But we are to have that, right? Let's learn from this psalm how to, right, once again, first of all, in all things, to ask the Lord how we may obey him in the circumstances, how we may have our hearts right before him, delighting in him, how we can commit our plans to him, right? How we can find peace in him, and thus to be able to wait patiently for him in the midst of these things. All right, so okay, thank you. That's all for today's devotion.